In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, I do not have a short sermon prepared for you. It is fairly long, but to those of you who are here for Mass at 12:30 in the middle of the day, followed by exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, in for a penny, in for a dollar, there is no apparition of Our Lady that is as well connected to the feast of the Immaculate Conception is Our Lady of Lourdes. In seminary, it's given to us as the example of the proof of the Holy Ghost in the Church and the help of the Holy Ghost given to the popes in their divinely mandated mission to feed the sheep. After the apparitions at Fatima, her apparitions at Lourdes are probably the most famous in our modern era. Let us go through some of the context and circumstances of Our Lady's apparitions at Lourdes to pick up some of Our Blessed Mother's apparitions of the lessons here. Blessed Pope Pius IX solemnly defined this dogma of the Immaculate Conception of Mary on December 8th, 1854, 170 years ago, in his apostolic constitution, Ineffabilis Deus. The Blessed Pope explained that Mary was preserved from original sin by a singular grace and privilege given her by God in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, Redeemer of the human race. By her Immaculate Conception, she was conceived in the fullness of grace, in the state of closest possible union to God, in view of her future role as Mother of the Redeemer. 4 years later, in 1858, in the grotto of Massabielle near Lourdes in southern France, Our Lady appeared not once, not twice, not three, four, or five times, but 18 times to Bernadette Soubirous, a young peasant girl. She was born on January 7th, 1844, and baptized the next day in the old parish church, being given the name Marie Bernard, the diminutive form of the name being Bernadette. From her birth, Bernadette was a weak child, suffering even then from asthma, which would cause her so much suffering that later, when she entered the convent, she would beg the nuns to tear open her chest that she might be able to breathe. Because of her delicate constitution, her parents would endeavor to give her little morsels of food not available to the other children, such as pieces of white bread instead of black bread. Invariably, the young girl would share these treats with her siblings, often missing out herself on the sumptuous feast. It turned out that she was also a fairly weak intelligence, making it a frustrating experience for her to learn her catechism. If the friend of the family tried to teach her, but Bernadette said of the experience, "It was useless for me to repeat my lessons. I always had to begin again." And following the advice of the priest, she persevered, but we find her at the age of 14 in 1858 in Lourdes, still not having made her first Holy Communion. Now, to the west of Lourdes, beyond the River Gave, is an old rock promontory excavated at its base 8 meters deep and 12 across. This is the grotto where the apparitions occurred and can still be visited today. The locals, however, tended to avoid the place due to its quiet desolation and wild appearance. Bernadette knew the place existed, but she had never been there in all her life. But at half past 12, on February 11th, 1858, the Thursday before Ash Wednesday, it was cold. The weather was threatening. But after dinner, with permission from her mother, Bernadette, with her sister and a friend, went to the banks of the river to find wood for the house. Because of her asthma, Bernadette was afraid to cross the shallow waters of the cold river. So the other two went across and gathered some wood. Now, as she gathered strength and courage to follow them, she heard the rustling sound of the wind blowing through a bush. She turned to face the grotto. This is when she saw a young lady of about 15 or 16 years old, and of a beauty that can only be described as heavenly, appear to her within a golden cloud placed above the bush. Instinctively, Bernadette took her rosary and she knelt down. The apparition did the same, and they prayed the rosary together. At the end, the apparition simply disappeared. The whole experience left Bernadette filled with joy for several days. She confided to her sister Marie what she had seen, asking her to keep it a secret. But of course, the young girl did not. Their mother forbade her from returning to the place, fearing it to be a trick of the devil. But Bernadette understood that the apparition could not have been diabolic, because it had calmly said the rosary with her. So despite her mother's prohibition, when she felt a summons in her heart to return to her place of joy, she, along with her sister, requested permission until their mother relented, and then they returned with a vial of holy water on Sunday, February 14th, for a second similar apparition. This time, she threw some drops of holy water upon the apparition, who only smiled and condoned the action. And at the end of the rosary, Bernadette was seen in a state of ecstasy by several neighbors. At the third apparition, Bernadette came with two adult friends of the family who wanted to know what was going on. This time, after praying the rosary in a similar manner, she was asked to return for 15 days. At the fourth, her parents joined her, and her mother saw her daughter in an ecstasy for the first time and found it hard to believe what was happening. By the fifth apparition, the entire town of Lourdes was in a state of excitement, having heard of the apparition, and several hundred of the townsfolk came to the grotto with Bernadette. The lady taught her a prayer word by word until she remembered it. This was a remarkable feat considering the weakness of her intellectual faculties. This prayer Bernadette kept to herself and recited daily until she died. She was examined by a doctor at the sixth apparition, who found Bernadette to be calm and serene and showing no signs of any nervous excitement. It was here that the lady, showing a bit of sadness on her face for the first time, indicated to her that she should pray for sinners. After this apparition, she was interviewed by the police commissioner, who wanted her to retract her story. All through the interrogation, Bernadette retained her simplicity, humility, veracity, and sweet nature, surely a sign of the heavenly nature of the apparitions and her increasing holiness in itself. But terrified by the commissioner, her parents forbade her to return to the grotto. Despite this, Bernadette was compelled by an invisible force to return. Even though the lady did not appear, Bernadette returned calm after all the excitement. At the seventh apparition, she received three secrets concerning herself that she would keep with her till the grave. It was at the eighth apparitions that their character changed from being personal and just for Bernadette to being universal and directed to the entire church and the whole world. This time, Bernadette related to the crowd of almost 500 persons that was present, three words from the lady: penance, penance, penance. At the ninth apparition, Bernadette was told to drink from the spring in front of the grotto. But not seeing a spring there, she ran all the way into the grotto and then into the river Gave before hearing the lady calling her back to indicate the spot where the spring was to be found. So here she dug up and drank from the flowing water, which was still muddy, getting mud all over her face. She was derided by the onlookers, who called her insane. The discovery of the spring, however, was declared to be miraculous, since there was no way to have known that it existed under the rock. Also, nothing extraordinary was found in the water, so that its powers of healing are certainly miraculous. What about the clergy up until this time? Well, the clergy had remained fairly aloof from all these happenings. It was the age, however, of course, of rationalism in France. And even the doctor who had examined Bernadette during the sixth apparition was convinced that science had all the answers and that faith provided nothing. The curé of the parish, the pastor, was aware of this, and he was able to tell his vicars, if the appearances are genuine and of a divine character, God will let us know in his own time. Now, if they are illusions or caused by the spirit of lies, however, God has no need of our intervention to reveal the falsehood. Thus, at the 10th apparition, after telling Bernadette to kiss the ground all the way to where she had appeared, the lady told her to ask the priests to build a chapel on the site. Bernadette immediately went to see her parish priest. He questioned her, and he was moved by her sincerity. Upon listening to her answers, all his doubts were dispelled, but he still kept an aloof and distant appearance so as not to influence the events. He sent Bernadette back, insisting that she tell the lady, say that before anything else, he demands to know her name, and that, moreover, she must prove that this name belongs to her. Meanwhile, all the news of the happenings at the grotto spread further, and the crowd at the 11th apparition numbered in the thousands. This time, when Bernadette bent low and kissed the ground, no one mocked this 14-year-old girl, who appeared to be maturing rapidly through these experiences. The messages that she received were of a personal nature, and she wasn't pressed to reveal them to anyone. Due to the large crowds, the local police were called to come and keep order, and they did. Workmen came and decided to dig a trough to collect water from the spring. But the popular press, the mainstream media, the disbelievers, and the freethinkers would misrepresent, distort, and discredit the occurrences. And many were the lies spread about what was happening. Bernadette was described as mad, as a neurotic, a cataleptic, an epileptic, a psychotic, a fraud. She was called a devious little liar, and she was called a fool who was manipulated by others. The list of insults and calumnies was nearly endless. The fact that only Bernadette was the one who saw the lady and could only one who could speak to her, this did not help. However, often by questioning Bernadette, one obtained the truth of the events that seemed so strange to so many and were easily misrepresented by them. At the 13th apparition, she was told to ask the parish priest, Abbé Permal, once again to have a chapel constructed on the site. The pastor was deliberately so cold and so harsh in his response to her that Bernadette forgot the second part of the message that she was told to deliver him. The parish priest demanded a miracle of the lady as proof of her heavenly character. Now, despite having provoked fear in the poor little girl and her having to visit the priest a second time to relay the message, she was pleased when she finally was able to do so. Once again, he asked her to get the name of the lady as a precondition to satisfying his request. At the next apparition, Our Lady only smiled at hearing the request of her priest and reiterated her request that a chapel be built at the site. The whole of France was aware that the next apparition was going to be on March 4th, 1858, and that this was the last one in the series. About 20,000 pilgrims were gathered before the grotto. Extra reserves of police were called to maintain order. The whole grotto was searched twice thoroughly, and this apparition was the longest and brought many smiles to the child's face. Bernadette spent much time in conversation with the lady, but at the end did not report anything to the onlookers. Over the next 21 days, she returned to spend hours at a time in prayer and contemplation within the grotto. On March 24th, she felt within herself the summons to return to the grotto once again. She decided to do so the next day, the Feast of the Annunciation. Some of the more pious onlookers recognized that it was the great feast day when Our Lady was being greeted as full of grace. They came to the grotto to pray. The lady was waiting even before Bernadette reached the place with her parents. There, while praying the rosary, Bernadette felt compelled to ask her for her name. She had to do this 3 times while confessing her unworthiness to receive this great favor. The lady was standing above a rose bush in a manner similar to that shown on the miraculous medal. Bernadette recounted later, "At my 3rd request, her face became very serious, and she seemed to bow down in an attitude of humility. Then she joined her hands and raised them to her breast. She looked up to heaven, and then, slowly opening her hands and leaning towards me, she said in a voice vibrating with emotion, 'I am the Immaculate Conception.' Then she just smiled and disappeared." This response brought great happiness to Bernadette. She hopped, skipped, and jumped all the way to the pastor of the village parish, burst in upon him as he was praying his breviary in the rectory garden, and announced to him in a happy voice, "I am the Immaculate Conception." Abbe Permal was floored. He asked the child if she even knew what that meant, but Bernadette did not. With that, having received his response, he dismissed the child. Until this time, Bernadette simply called the woman who appeared to her the lady. But now there was conclusive proof that she was Mary, the Mother of God. From then on, through Easter and afterwards, pilgrims streamed to the grotto in the thousands, as they do to this day. Once again, Bernadette felt Our Lady summoning her in her heart. And at this next to last apparition, on April 7th, 1858, even though her hand was touching the flame of a blessed candle, it was not burnt. This was also the occasion of the first miraculous cure of a boy crippled since birth. None of these miracles, however, convinced the civil authorities of the good nature of the happenings. They wanted to put a stop to all the visits, fence off the spring and the grotto. The devil, too, did not rest, wanting to dismay and discourage visitors. However, through all of this, Bernadette, the young Bernadette, remained without reproach. She preserved virtue. She never accepted money. She told her story time and time again to any and all who asked to hear it from morning to night, a task which drove her to exhaustion, especially because of her asthma. Her family remained in abject poverty, while she obediently and humbly carried out all the wishes of Our Lady. And all this she accepted because Our Lady had promised her happiness in the next life, not in this one. Since she wore the brown scapular all her life, she visited the grotto and saw Our Lady one last time on this earth on the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, July 16th. The Bishop of Tarbes, the diocese in which Lourdes is located, established a commission to examine the events. The commission, in its report, accepted and declared that the apparitions were of a supernatural character. They said of Bernadette that her sincerity cannot be doubted. They noted her simplicity, her candor, and modesty. Their report stated, "She only speaks when she is questioned, and then she recounts everything without affectation and with a touching simplicity, and she replies to the numerous questions addressed to her without hesitation, giving answers clear and precise, very much to the point, and bearing the stamp of intense conviction. She has been tested most severely, but no menaces have shaken her. She has responded to the most generous offers by a noble disinterestedness. She never contradicts herself. In all the different examinations which she has undergone, her story never changes. She never adds to it. She never takes away from it. Bernadette's sincerity cannot be disputed." The commission noted that even her opponents accepted that she was sincere. Her wise responses showed that she possesses a clear mind, a calm imagination, and a common sense above her age. With the good report of Bernadette's character came also her obedience to Our Lady's wishes and commands. She was humble enough to drink the muddy water from the spring that she had dug up and to eat of the herbs growing near the grotto, despite being mocked by the onlookers. The miraculous facts around the apparitions, the healings and cures, were a further proof of their authenticity. The commission also noted that Bernadette could not possibly have known about the declaration of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception by Pope Pius IX a mere 4 years earlier, making her report of the name given by the apparitions supernatural in nature and a stamp of approval on the declaration of the dogma. The liturgical feast of Our Lady of Lourdes was established for February 11th and approved by Pope Leo XIII and first granted to the Diocese of Tarbes in the year 1890. Less than 20 years later, on November 13th, 1907, his successor, Pope St. Pius X, proclaimed that it be observed throughout the universal church. This saint and visionary, Bernadette, entered the Sisters of Notre Dame at Nevers in 1866 and was given the name of Sister Marie Bernard. She worked there as a sacristan and avoided publicity as best she could. She often said of herself, "I was a broom which Our Lady used and then put back in its corner." She died on April 16th, 1879, at the young age of 35. She was beatified in 1925 by Pope Pius XI and canonized by him as a saint on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, December 8th, 1933. And she appears in church records as Saint Mary Bernarda, but in our hearts, she is affectionately remembered as Saint Bernadette Soubirous. The apparitions of Our Lady at Lourdes and the comportment of Bernadette through all of them show that devotion to Our Lady brings peace, courage, and confidence to those who could devote themselves to her. In her dealings with Bernadette, Our Lady showed a maternal care and concern with which she deals with all of us. By her Immaculate Conception, she was prepared to be the Mother of God, and nothing will please our Lord more than for us to grow in devotion to her every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.